Beer with Pleasant Strangers, episode 6.
Hi. As you can see, I'm here at a bottle share. We're actually doing this at Plan 9 Ale House in Escondido, California. Behind me is one of the proprietors of Plan 9. His name is Marty. Say hello, Marty.
It's Chad, but Marty's the guy that comes out when you have a bottle share.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's the correct guy.
Nice.
So they were gracious enough to host tonight a little bottle share, so which is what you see going on behind me. We've had a whole bunch of good beers. I don't even remember what this is. It's
cheers.
Cheers, Marty. Notable, we did a few interesting beers tonight. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the original batch of the Wicked Weed Angel Sours. That's Red Angel, White Angel, Black Angel, Golden Angel, and then Angel of Darkness. So stay tuned. Stick around. We'll talk about those beers in a little bit here. But for now, I think I need to go back because I think they're probably opening another bottle. And I really don't want to miss out. I have fear of missing out, or FOMO, if you want to call it that for short. So, yeah, stick around. All right, welcome back to another episode of Beer with Pleasant Strangers podcast. I'm joined again by my good friend, Curtis Felstead.
Yeah, boy.
How you doing?
Good.
Curtis, where are we?
We are actually up in Torrance right now at Smog City Brewing.
Yay!
One of those little interesting spots where most people go as a pit stop, either before or after they go wait in a stupid line at Monkish for some IPAs that they're going to end up trading away anyway.
But not us. We didn't do that. We didn't wait in a line at Monkish, did we, today? Actually.
No, you know what? We got there, and there was actually a line. There was no cans. It was just people wanted to get some growler fills.
Just people.
Much
yep.
Yeah.
I actually had a little sour beer on today with boysenberries, a oak-aged sour. Called.
Yeah, that was actually really good. It was
Invert the Sun.
Yes.
That's what it was called. Quite good. Jammy, earthy boysenberries.
Throw it in a bottle. Make it happen.
Yeah, do it, Monkish. Do it. At this point, I mean, with Monkish's kind of like quote-unquote sours program, although I think their base must be just like a tart saison. That's what I feel like.
Yeah,
is,
I mean, you can definitely tell with most of theirs that the base is probably going to be the same across the board, but it works.
But I love it. I love it so much. So yeah, we popped over to Smog City and we set up over here, and a couple weeks ago, we were actually celebrating Curtis's birthday.
Yeah.
He's older than he's ever been, and actually now he's even older than that.
This is very true.
And now he's even older than that, too. So, just time keeps marching on.
The trips around the sun definitely suck some serious ass, but...
For your birthday, Curtis, you had the great idea of let's open some of the OG
you
releases...
Son of a bitch.
...of the Wicked Weed Angel series. So you got a horizontal of the angels.
Yeah, the batch ones from when they started doing Red Angel, then they moved on to Golden Angel. I believe the next one in the batch was White Angel. And they redid... They've had Black Angel before, but they redid the whole thing. And then they finished out the year with Angel of Darkness, which was a very, very big version with three different fruits.
Very big. How strong was that one? It was double digits.
I want to say it was close to like 10 or 11 off the top of my head.
It was double digits for sure.
Yeah.
And then, so we had a great time, a great share. Woke up the next morning to the news that, in so many words, Wicked Weed had, quote, sold out, unquote.
It's true.
To AB InBev. Although they put it in terms of they took a stake or they took an investment from the high-end brand division of Anheuser-Busch InBev.
Yeah.
AKA, you guys sold out. Sorry, Wicked Weed. We love you, but don't sugarcoat
it. I still have a bunch of your beer, and I'm not going to lie. It's just, it's going to be very, very hard for me to open said beer and not get looks of judgment passed my way.
So it was an incredible night, but kind of a rough morning. Like, and it was weird.
Yeah.
It was very coincidental. Like, that.
I remember waking up a little later than I normally do and saw a few friends had texted me about it, and pretty much any Facebook forum when it comes to craft beer, just screaming from atop the soapbox, if you will. It was very hard pill to swallow, to say the least.
Although, you know, think about it, I feel very grateful. We had like a night of, there was a certain purity to our enjoyment of those angels that you brought.
It was good. I mean, don't get me wrong, they were really great. I will say they were done well before the whole buyout.
Absolutely.
I saved them specifically to do all of them in a row. It just was very bittersweet irony, to say the least, that we went through the whole lineup, and less than about 12 hours later, the news came out that they had sold to AVMF.
Nuts.
Yeah.
So to recap, the Angels, though, I mean, you've had all of them before that night?
I've had all of them before. I did make it a point to try to get at least one or two in random trades and whatnot of everything we had. Just being, I wanted to try them and then set aside one bottle of each to just run the gauntlet on the whole deal.
Yeah. So what was your favorite one? Or, I mean, you can kind of go through them if you want. If you can give me your notes.
If I had to choose a favorite, I'm a sucker for raspberries. So Red Angel to me was the first one in the bunch. We kind of led off with that, and it was going to take a lot to overpower that in my eyes. I will say Golden Angel tasted like you were getting fresh apricot skins in your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that's probably like number two in my book. I think that was probably your number
okay.
one.
Okay. Golden Angel was my number one for sure.
You're an apricot whore, though.
So I am. The stone fruits, those bifurcated stone fruits, they get me every time. Good things come in twos.
Then we moved on from Golden Angel to White Angel, which was... It was interesting because it was aged on, I believe, muscat grape. So I, coming from the wine field, I really did appreciate the fact that you did get a little bit of that typical white wine feel on a sour blonde, which kind of best of both worlds. Pretty hard to argue.
Yeah.
And then they kind of threw the little curveball with Black Angel. So if you haven't had Black Angel before...
Black Angel.
So Black Angel is, it's a dark sour aged in a bourbon barrel, but it's also aged on cherry. So the nose on it, it smells like a typical bourbon barrel aged beer. And then it kind of comes out of nowhere and just hits you with a little bit of that cherry pie finish on it, which,
yeah,
it was quite delightful. I'm not going to lie, it was really good.
So good.
Yeah. And then you finish off the whole lineup with Angel of Darkness, which was... It's basically an imperial version of a dark sour from them. They aged with... I believe was blackberry, raspberry, and boysenberry?
I'm going to check that.
And oak puncheon? And that basically tasted... To me, like, if you went over to Knott's Berry Farm up here in Orange County.
Which we are very close to right now.
Yeah. A little stone's throw. Basically, like, if you went up there where they have some nice fruit preserves, it was basically like taking that, spreading it on the inside of an oak barrel, and then proceeding to lick it right off there.
Ooh. So yeah. Graphic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're correct. So, It was a barrel-aged American sour blended with 1.5 pounds per gallon of boysenberries, blackberries, raspberries, and cherries, and aged in Oloroso sherry casks for about 14 months.
Yes.
Wow. Then they blended it onto another 1.4 pound per gallon of the same dark fruits for two more months in a stainless steel tank. A total of 3 tons of fruit? Used the production of that beer. That's crazy.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of fruit on that. And that was the one, I would say, out of all the bottles from them, it took a serious amount of willpower to not drink that by myself.
Kudos. Thank you for sharing it with all of us. And it was a lot of people to share it with. A little bottle.
It kind of ended up being a little bit more than we expected.
You never know how many people were, like, so excited to come celebrate your birthday with you.
Our typical Tuesday night crew is usually anywhere from 4 or 5 to, like, 12 sometimes. I think we ended up with about 25 or so.
Yeah, two dozen.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So those beers were getting opened at a furious rate, to say the least.
Yeah.
And then someone decided to bring a little Strawberry Sunrise from Superstition Meadery.
Superstition. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Fruit roll-ups.
Oh, yeah.
Drinkable fruit roll-ups, basically.
Throw that over pancakes, and I'm a happy camper.
Crepes. Crepes. Put it on crepes.
Or just pour it square into my mouth hole, and I'm fine, too.
Which is what pretty much I did. Yeah, yeah. Both did that.
But yeah, nuts. It's a tough pill to swallow. I'm not going to lie. I still have so many beers from Wicked Weed. And I do try to stay as pure to craft beer at heart as I can.
Yeah, because it's not even... It's like Jester King. Who's the guy from Jester King? He wrote a very eloquent, shall we call it a breakup letter, almost. He published it on various online social media platforms.
It was definitely that it's not me, it's you, in essence.
Yes.
But it was definitely well written. It's definitely a lot better than anything I could have come up with. I can tell you that for a fact. And it really... It wasn't like grabbing the pitchfork and chasing after Frankenstein, to say the least. It was just a very... I mean, the breakup, if you will, with it was... It's very well done. It was very classy.
Jeffrey Stuffings, yes, from the founder of Jester King Brewery, authored this post. And, yeah. Very eloquent, but didn't pull any punches, really.
No.
What he said was, this has been a difficult day for us. The news that our great friend Wicked Weed Brewing was acquired by AB InBev came as quite a shock. As you might guess, we've been getting a lot of emails, media inquiries, and online questions about what we think and what it means for Jester King. It's no secret that Wicked Weed has been one of our closest friends in the beer industry. Regardless of what has transpired, we'll always consider the people of Wicked Weed friends and want the best for them and their families. He goes on to say some of their core principles are that they don't sell beer from AB InBev, basically. And basically says, we're not going to carry Wicked Weed anymore. And it's not because of a spiteful thing or anything like that. He was basically saying it's because their business practices he took issue with as a anti-competitive business practices that are hurtful to small craft breweries in the United States. I'm sure, for all his posturing, I'm sure AB InBev takes a different view, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can spin it whatever way you want. It's what they do is basically they're forcing people out of the market and forcing people out of business. They obviously have the capital behind them to really, in essence, do what they want, especially when it comes to breaking certain laws,
yeah,
i.e. pay-to-play type of deal. They have the money to pay those fines. They don't care.
Yeah.
So,
if you think about, the big breweries in the United States, I mean, they didn't get that big. There were some market conditions that were definitely, you could say, maybe kind of artificial, or were kind of created in such a way that favored them in the way that they grew, so they wound up being the only players in the field and absorbing all the other brands and stuff like that. But you think about, like, if craft breweries have flourished in spite of these giant corporations existing that produce beer, and like, if a craft brewery really wants to stay true to its principles, I think it will survive and thrive. Don't need to take an investment from the high-end brand arm of, you don't need to sell. It's just, I'm sure it's a huge temptation for the founders.
If you're good at what you're doing, I mean, if you're good at your craft, you really don't need that outside presence. You don't need Big Brother reaching into their wallet and giving you money. If you have a great plan behind you, you're going to do fine. It's just the whole concept of you walking down the street and someone flashes a $100 bill at you. You kind of get a little eye looking at it. It's hard not to look at a $100 bill.
Well, it's hard also not to crave stability, I think, because it's tough.
It's true.
Right? I mean, like, you're at the mercy of so many different things that you can take away a lot of the pain with just the massive...
It's the whole thing with any business.
Infrastructure.
It's going to take some serious hard work, and you're going to be banging your head against the wall at some point out of frustration. It's those that basically take that frustration and channel it into a positive manner that end up being very, very successful.
Well, Wicked Weed's been around for 5 years.
I want to say 5 or 6, yeah.
Okay. Relatively young, although, I mean...
They have 3 different locations along with a brew pub, so they're at 4 locations alone.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone over in basically North or South Carolina, you mention the name Wicked Weed, they know who you're talking about.
I love it because right now there's obviously beer being brewed here at Smog City.
That's true. We're
chilling in their tasting room, which is also their brewery, which is also their barrel house, which is also their kegging facility and bottling line and all that. So,
it's Smog City beer inception right now.
So let's switch gears since we are at Smog City. You procured 2 different Smog City beers for us to taste here.
It's true. Basically, these are annual releases. So one of their beers they do, which I fell in love with a very, very long time ago, is Infinite Wishes.
Oh.
Now, Infinite Wishes is a bourbon barrel-aged imperial stout.
So good.
It's very tasty. I do remember this. The first year I had it, it was definitely quite a bit of bourbon on it. It did taste, quote-unquote, hot out the gates right away. But you did get some vanilla, some fudge, and I held on to my first bottle and let it sit for about a year, and I opened it maybe 3 months ago, something like that, and it was still very, very boozy. But we had a friend bring this year's bottle to a share.
Yeah.
And
Craft Cult.
Yeah.
Shout out to Craft Cult.
It almost felt kind of on the verge of being a different beer. It was very, very well rounded, super smooth.
Very silky.
Yeah. It's like going to that little country town that makes fudge for some reason. That's what they're good at.
Oh, yeah.
They're good at fudge and they're good at like preserve spreads.
I like that.
And they decided to go ahead and take that, liquefy it, throw it in a bottle, and it kind of worked really good. So.
One of the things they made last year was a Meadow Foam Honey collaboration with some honey beekeeper. It makes this Meadow Foam Honey, and Buzzworthy. Bourbon Barrel Aged Buzzworthy. And whatever it was with however they've dialed their stout game, Infinite Wishes and Buzzworthy both had that same well-rounded mouthfeel.
I don't know what they did, but I'm not going to complain about it. It's rather delightful. And I hope they keep everything else going like this because
some of
the other releases they've done have been following suit for sure. Hence the other bottle we got. They do a beer named Bourbon OE.
Yes.
For those of us that have been in the hood game for a long time, I think we all know that OE stands for Old English. Is it safe to say that you know what OE is?
No, I didn't know that.
What?
No, I didn't know. I wasn't in the hood game. Old English.
This is what happens when you grow up in SoCal. Like,
Which I did not.
When you're born and raised in Southern California and you're struggling as a college student, working your really shitty minimum wage job, you might get that whole like 50 cents an hour over minimum wage.
Minimum wage.
You're only working 25, 30 hours a week while you're trying to go to college. You tend to scrape the bottom of the barrel for certain things that are the alcoholic pursuit. There's a nice fine malt liquor that is known as Old English 800.
Would you believe I've never had this fabled Old English malt liquor before?
I really feel like I need to bring one to the next share we do just because...
I'll try it.
You need to drink this nectar of the demigods, if you will. I wouldn't call it nectar of the gods. It's not on that level. It's on that, like, half god, half derelict human type of level.
Will it trigger my gag reflex before I even get it, like, past the gums?
That's a very good possibility. I'm not going to lie. At least I'm not giving you Steel Reserve. Like, shout out to Steel Reserve in Colorado, but... No, not so much.
Keystone.
That's one of those beers I grew up on. It still holds fond memories in my heart. But that was probably about 12 years ago. So we have come past the terms of quantity over quality. we flip that spectrum real quick. So, Bourbon OE. I remember having it for the first time about 2 years ago and being a little underwhelmed. Just a little backstory on Bourbon OE. This is their bourbon barrel aged English style barley wine. So, hence the term OE.
Ah.
Got a little English in there. For the most part,
okay,
it will be on the sweeter side. With most English style barley wines, they do end up being on the sweeter side. I do remember this beer fondly, and it was one of those beers that trying to drink a whole bottle to yourself, you might want to, if you're going to do that, just be relatively close to some sort of form of transportation, because I don't believe you're going to be driving anywhere soon with it.
You mean like an ambulance, or like you're talking about
you
like
can get
a
red ambulance? You can get an Uber,
a little red wagon, or like some rollerblades or something like that. Will those work too?
If you've got a buddy that's going to drag your ass on a Red Rider, I am all for it. But for the most part, make sure you got your Uber app updated. Make sure your credit card info is good, because you're probably going to be taking one at the end of the night.
So Bourbon OE. So we've actually got a pour of it. So we grab bottles because why not? We're here. This is fantastic beer. It comes out once a year, as Kurt has mentioned. But we've actually got a taster of Bourbon OE here. And then we also have another taster. We don't have a taster of Infinite Wishes, but we have something called Chinooks and Crannies.
Chinooks and Crannies. I do remember this beer. So we did have... I had this beer for the first time actually at an anniversary party for the brewery out of Placentia.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They brought this beer. They also brought Steelcraft IPA, which was kind of their flagship IPA for their new location. Smog City does have this really cool setup, kind of like a place down in San Diego. There's a place called Courtyard down in San Diego that the entire place is made out of shipping containers.
Yeah.
So they kind of went with a little bit of the same setup up here. I actually have yet to go, which I'm still kicking my ass for it, but it's... I remember having this beer and thinking to myself, this is a great beer. As kind of that... get you out of drinking very, very tart and acidic sours or very, very big, rich bourbon barrel-aged beers. I dare say almost palate-cleansing beer.
Okay.
But cranberries are a very good way to do this as well. So basically, this is a sour blonde with cranberry and Chinook hops.
Yeah, and I was just smelling it, and it smells like ocean spray.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like very, very palatable. It's one of those beers that I do call a filler beer, but it's... it's definitely by itself. It holds its weight in water. I want you to try that beer.
Let's taste it here. Let's see what's going on. Chinooks and Crannies. Once again, it's a sour blonde ale with cranberries and Chinook hops. As I said, it smells like ocean spray. Like going into the supermarket, grab ocean spray. It's cranberries with something, right? But it tastes...
yeah.
Like, it tastes extremely... I can taste the hops. Hops are super, like... there's like... it's like there's a wall of hops in front of an aquarium filled with floating berries or something. And it's actually very Venice. It's not a wine barrel aged thing, though, is it?
Nope.
To me, I get like a white wine kind of crisp little bite. I don't know. But there is... there's no grapes in it. There's no white
grapes,
wine.
It just... there's something about the cranberries that, I mean, the whole natural diuretic for it could play something with the hops. It's very interesting. It kind of surprised the hell out of me when we had it. But
I get the cranberries on the back end a lot.
Yeah.
Like, up front, though, the hops are extremely prevalent.
I definitely, I can agree with that.
Very cleansing, though, too.
Yeah. That was the reason why, especially with that beer. I did find it to be one of those beers where it's a great beer in between doing a bunch of really big beers. I mean, it does kind of strip the palate of anything really big.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So.
It's great, though. I mean, it's like super smooth and super like... it doesn't punch you with the acidity or anything like that. It's not tart either. Not in my mind, when I think of tart, it is savory. I think of savory and a little tiny bit sweet, and then herbal, hoppy, and just very, 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 very clean. And not barrel-aged.
Not barrel-aged.
No, just... So it's...
Kind of odd.
It's a kettle sour then, yeah?
It is a kettle sour.
Ah.
And I usually... I will be the first one to say I am not a huge kettle sour person.
Yeah, me neither.
Most kettle sours to me leave a real interesting chalky film on your mouth. Like you basically just took a bunch of Flintstones vitamins, crushed them up, and laced the inside of your glass with it. And that's kind of the reason why I usually steer clear of them. But
hey, you know, another kettle sour, though, that I do like is... Modern Times Symmetric Orchestra. That was a kettle sour. Actually, I like that one quite a bit. I think I've only done it once, as far as I know.
I feel like they redid it because...
Yeah, maybe they did. Yeah, I mean, it's been a while.
I know that we actually just got bottles of it at my fine establishment known as Plan 9 Ale House. We do sell them, so... Oh, yeah. Shameless self-plug. I don't care.
Nice.
So we did just recently get that, so I do believe this might be like batch two of it. But I remember having it before and thinking to myself, I can't say I don't like all kettle sours now, because there's a few gems that you just got to polish the turd off of most of them, but it's good.
Cool. All right, so then our other beer, as we the aforementioned legendary barley wine, yes. Bourbon OE.
O-E.
Oh my gosh. So this one smells like... I mean, it smells like a barley wine.
Ah.
And it smells like bourbon.
And brown sugar, bourbon, a little bit of caramel.
Pretty much, it smells exactly like that brown sugar, like frosting that you can get, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's actually gotten a lot better now that we let it warm up, too.
Yeah, all that time we were talking... These beers have been just chilling, sitting in front of us here. Or I say not chilling. They've been warming. Because when they came off the tap, they were extremely cold. And as with most beers, I would say most craft beers, doesn't matter what the style is, you want them to warm up beyond borderline, you know, ice water temperatures so that you can actually taste them, because your taste buds are otherwise being numbed by the cold. Same principle applies to coffee if you're drinking coffee at... you know, blazingly, you know, hot, scaldingly hot temperatures, your taste buds cannot perceive flavor.
Let alone just burn your mouth.
Just being burnt off, yeah. You've done it. We've all done it. We've all burnt our tongues before, and then everything afterwards, you can't taste it right? Because your taste buds are burnt. I don't know if you can, I guess you could probably do this. You could freeze your tongue. The old licking a flagpole thing, you know?
You can, yeah. It happens.
But
that triple dog dare kicks you right in the ass when you put your tongue on that pole, though.
So all that to say that these beers are now at a great temperature, a terrific temperature, drinking temperature. And, oh, God, Bourbon OE, it's terrible. You agree? I mean, I don't think you want the rest of it. I'll just take it if you want. If you don't want it, I'll just...
You try taking the rest of that.
Scoot it all towards myself here on the table.
It may decrease the amount of digits you have on your hand, so...
No, it's amazing.
Very good.
It's like German chocolate cake, but without really the chocolate part. You know, it's just that richness, that really, really like dark sugar, not burnt, but kind of like the caramelization flavors that you get. Vanilla.
Yeah, I do get a little bit of that. Best way you can describe it on the back end to me, I do get your flavor. If you're that prick that gets creme brulee and you're the one that eats the whole crunchy top.
Yeah.
That's what I get on the back end.
Yeah, dude. I get that too.
Yeah.
That's a good descriptor.
Yeah, it's just that real nice, completely caramelized sugar, but you're still getting your vanilla on the back. which I think is the biggest reason why I like this beer. Because it really does give you kind of an aspect of almost dessert in a glass, but this dessert in a glass will probably kick your ass eventually.
This is really fantastic. We actually have a plan currently that's we're trying to get in motion. It might be complete and utter folly. It may be
destruction.
It may be our undoing. It may cause irreparable brain damage to some people. But we're going to do a blind barley wine tasting. I'll be there. I'll bring the recording equipment. We'll turn it into an episode.
Oh yeah.
And this one should come along. But oh my gosh, like it's so good. You know, it
holds its weight.
It doesn't taste. So, I mean, this is a beer. Here's a beer that was, what, bottled a week ago, 2 weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah, I believe it was, like, 2 weeks ago.
That's when they put it on for sale. I don't know when they actually bottled it. It's a good question. But it tastes like it's just been patiently being aged in someone's cellar for years. It tastes like 3 or 4 years old or something to me. It's just so smooth, so silky, like... I think that Smog City, whatever they're doing with their barrel program, they've hit upon that kind of a sweet spot.
Yeah.
For producing the mouthfeel and the carbonation levels of something that has been gently aging for a while.
Yeah, it's almost like they've found the fast forward button on all their stuff without having to hit it. Everything's tasting great, like it should taste for a typical place in about 6 months after bottling.
Or maybe they're just really patient. Maybe they actually... wait
Nobody's
to release stuff
anymore.
Until it's done. It could be. You never know. Well, this is delicious. This has been great. Thanks for joining me. Do you have anything else you want to add before we sign off?
It's one of those. I always say, man, be an ambassador of the craft. Try to share as much beer as you can with anybody. It's good karma. Good karma comes back around.
Oh, yeah.
Just
absolutely.
Be a good person. That's all it is. Like, if I see you, you see me, say what's up. I'm pretty sure I'm probably going to buy you a beer at some point. And, yeah, just don't be a douchebag.
All right. Thanks for joining me today, Curtis. Once again, if you guys want, you can find Curtis in the show notes on our website, beerwithpleasantstrangers.com. You can follow Beer with Pleasant Strangers on Instagram, or Kurt is Big Kurt
19x8
on Instagram. He also has a blog, Between Beers and Other Bullshit. Links to that will also be in the show notes. Check him out on there and read some of his ruminations on craft beer, the industry, service industry, some of his deep thoughts from many years working in the biz. Thanks for joining, and in the meantime, don't be a stranger. That was a great little glass clink sound.